Are we on? Okay, good. Thank you. Okay, so just a brief Monday hashkafa, just a little early because I have some conflicts. So I thought we'd spend a few minutes talking about Pesach, preparing for Pesach, I guess. We're in the tkufa of Shloshim Yom Lefnei Achag, Sholim V'Dorshim B'Inyano Shelchag. So I thought we would just start off with a brief talk about the significance of that particular halacha itself. So the Gemara says in Masechet Psachim, everybody can hear me?
Yeah.
Okay, great. So one second. Okay. One second. I know there's a Gemara here somewhere. Oh, I see. Got it here. Yeah. Okay. The Gemara says in Masechet Psachim on Davav Amud Aleph, Gemara has the halacha, which we're all very familiar with, which is this requirement of preparing for Pesach, you know, halachically in advance. The Gemara says, Kedetanya, Sholim v'Dorshim Hilchos HaPesach, Kodem HaPesach, Shloshim Yom, Rab Shimon Gamliel Amar Shtei Shabbosos, etc. So this is the famous halacha that Sholim v'Dorshim Hilchos Pesach, Kodem HaPesach, Shloshim Yom. What I want to do is just to analyze this list a little bit for the few minutes that we have here. The Rishonim, I'll point out that the formulation that appears here in Psachim and in the parallel sugyas elsewhere really seems to differentiate Pesach from the other holidays. The other famous formulation being the Gemara. One second, I'm going to put this down. The Gemara in Megillah. One second. The Mishnah in Megillah and Daf Chav Tes Amud Aleph, which establishes the requirement of Kriyas HaTorah. So in that context, we're told that Moshe Rabbeinu, no less, implemented this requirement of Kriyas HaTorah. And then the Gemara expands upon that in a very considerable fashion on Daf Lamed Beis Amud Aleph in Megillah, where the Gemara's final words actually of Masechet Megillah pretty much are Vaydaber Moshe Esma Adash Shemel B'nei Yisrael Mitzvason Shiyu Korin Osan Kalechot V'yechot Bizmano, which is the basis for Kriyas HaTorah, and so on. And then the Gemara elaborates Tan Rabbanan Moshe Tikin Lem LeYisrael Shiyu Sholim V'Dorshin B'Inyano Shel Yom Hilchos Pesach B'Pesach Hilchos Atzeres B'Atzeres Hilchos Chag B'Chag. So these are the famous two memras of the Gemara discussing the concept of preparing preparing for Yom Tov, halachically preparing for Yom Tov. And of course, what is immediately obvious is that the Gemara in Megillah focuses on the actual Moed itself, whereas the Gemara in Psachim seems to speak about there being a period of Shloshim Yom in advance. Moreover, the Gemara in Megillah speaks about all of the Chagim, all of the Regalim at least, together. Actually, there's an omission of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, which is something that the Marsha speaks about. We've spoken about it at other times as well. But at least the other Regalim are mentioned alongside Pesach, whereas the Gemara in Psachim speaks exclusively about Pesach. And the question is, what's the reason for this discrepancy? Is there some unusual status of Pesach? What is the nature of these halachos to begin with? So the Rashi in Psachim, when he talks about the requirement of Shloshim Yom, seems to focus pragmatically on what that would be all about. And Rashi says, let's see if I can find it. Rashi says, that second. Konim Shloshim Yom Lachal Abav Kovas Biyor. One second, not finding it. Rashi seems to say that this has to do Ulekamon Mefarish Keneged Shloshim Ksholim Bihilchas Pesach Konim Pesach Shloshim Yom Umeaz Chalalav Lehizaher Betzarchei HaPesach. Rashi seems to say that there's some requirement of Shloshim Yom that is related to Zehirus of Pesach. Anyways, the Rishonim already asked the question about the discrepancy between the Gemara in Megillah and the Gemara in Psachim, and they give different answers to this question. The Ran famously suggests, both in Megillah and in Psachim, that the din of Shloshim Yom Lifnei Achag is really a misnomer. There really is no din to start learning Dinei Chagamatzos per se, or to start being Shol V'Doresh Shloshim Yom, but really it has to do with Limud HaTorah and the prerogatives of Rebbe and Talmud. I'm just going to quote a little bit from the Beis Yosef because that's just more convenient. I'll give you the answers that he suggests. But the Beis Yosef here, quoting the view of the Ran, says, V'yeshlomar d'haditanya sholem v'darshim karma pasok shloshim yom, lav lememra danu mechuyavim lishov v'lidrosh v'yokos ha-pasach, el mishum d'kaim alam bi'alma, that b'shnei talmidim sholem echad shol ke'inyan, v'echad sholo ke'inyan, niskakin, right, lishoel ke'inyan. This is, of course, before the time of Zoom. So, you know, you couldn't mute people, you know, if you wanted to. So the question was, who gets priority when they ask questions? And what we're being told is that if the question relates to the upcoming Chag, then that's called Shoel Ke'inyan, and that takes priority. So Shloshim Yom Korma Pesach Tashiv Shoel Ke'inyan, Chashiv Shoel Ke'inyan, V'chein Pirish HaRan, that's the Ran. Interesting. According to this view, there really is no din otherwise of Shloshim Yom. The Taz in Arachayim, in Simen Taf Chavtes, exactly where this Beis Yosef and Bach are, elaborating on the answer of the Ran, suggests that there would also be another Nafgamina, and that a Rebbe who teaches Talmidim, I guess, is legally obligated to teach Dine Hachag, Shloshim Yom Lifnei Hachag, but it sounds like a pragmatic reasons, but the Taz came up with an interesting second nafgamina. And that is Imkein Yesh Nafgamina Le'inyan Imshoa Shaloa Tamidim Behema Meharav Toch Lam Medyom Korma Pesach Umesa Kturim. The osos manu mishubad lahem v'havas she'ela bebailim kein nearly nachon. So that's kind of a very interesting application that, from a choshev mishpat point of view, if you were to borrow something from the Rebbe, a she'ela, and typically, you know, she'ela is chayv ba'onsin, but there's a din, and that is that she'ela bebailim is potur. So the question, what is she'ela bebailim? Typically, it means that the bailim also have an obligation, or also working with the shoel. So the Taz is suggesting that Shloshim Yom Lifnei Achag, the Rebbe doesn't have a right to learn whatever he wants. Right? That's why, you know, a bit of a question whether I have the right to pick this topic, although it would be ironic, I guess, you know, if I didn't, considering that the obligation, if there is one, is in Yoni Pesach. But basically, what the Taz is suggesting is that the din of She'ela Bebailim is going to apply 30 days before a Chag. And that's what he says, basically. He says, one second, V'imkein yesh nafkamina, v'shol talmidim behema mi'arav, as I said, tov shloshim yom, osos man is mishubat lahem, Ahava she'ela bebailim kach nirali nacha. But according to that view, it sounds like there is nothing particularly special about Pesach. He says the same thing would be true about Yimei Hakala, Yarche Kala, that they had to prepare for other Moedim as well. And basically, this is more of a technical halakha. The Beis Yosef provides two other answers to this question. Yesh Lomar, another answer, Odish Lafarish, Odish Lomar, Didine Pesach al Kaponim Tzarech Laodiyam La'am Kodim LePesach, Shloshim Yom, Kidei Shiyelahem Shahus Rav Lehisaseg Betchina Sachitim, Vafias Matzah, Vahagolas Hakelim, Ubir Chametz, Dilu Pesach Leisle Takanta, Ilo Ovdeluhu Kilchusayu, Mekami Hachi, Vashenkim Bishar Moadim, Debatzeris Lekadinim Yosem Bishar Yomtev, Ubisukas Afagav Dikemitzvah Sukkah Velulav, Ein Tzorch Lulmod Behem Kolkach Dinim, Dafilu Sukkas Ganvach, Virashvak, Virakvash rather, Kshera, Ubitfana Sagi Bishnaim, Kilchotsam Shlishis, Afilu Tefach, Vilam Vesrogim Rubam Ksherim. Basically, this second answer, which also appears in the Rishonim, is that this is a special din having to do practically with preparation for Pesach. And that is because even relative to Sukkos, which is probably the next closest chag that's difficult to prepare for, right? There are a lot of intricate details and you need to prepare, whether it's Korban Pesach or Matzah or Chametz or Haggalah, etc. Hodetanya Sholim, Bihilchos Pesach, Pesach, Bihilchos Chag B'Chag, Hainu Lidrosh B'Ta'amim Shebavuram Nitztaveinu B'Moed. So basically, according to this second view in the Rishonim, there are basically two completely different dinim, as there were for the Ran. The Ran holds that the first din is just a din in the Beis Medrash, a din in Shol Ke'inyan. And according to the Taz, there's also this added element of She'ela B'Bailin, but that's all about the Rebbe-Talmud relationship. According to the second answer, this is a special din in preparing for Pesach because of the intricate details. But according to both of these views, there's nothing fundamentally different about Pesach than other chagim. Moreover, the din that we find in Masechet Megillah, which is on the Yom Tov itself, that is something, it seems like I have a bigger audience, than I thought. The next generation or the next generation just came in the room. But the din of on Chag itself, that's a din in Tamei HaChag, meaning what the Mechayvim and the themes of the Chag are about, as well as what's Usher and what's Mutter. The Usher and Mutter part, it's not clear whether that's more pragmatic or that, too, is more fundamental, like the proper way to spend the Yom Tov certainly is to be involved in the dinim of the Chag itself. So that's the second answer. And according to this view, some of the Rishonim slip in, including the Beis Yosef in this rendition itself, that if this were to be true, then the first halacha, namely the Shloshim Yom, may not apply exactly to the other Chagim, but you would make some adjustment for necessary, more elaborate need for preparation. So they don't say this, but in a particular year, for example, where more would be required to prepare for Sukkos, but even every year, since Sukkos doesn't compare to the intricacies of Pesach, but it's still not as light a preparation as Shavuos, so B'Sukkos Yomo Yomayim, etc. So that's the second perspective. The third perspective, also quoted by the Beis Yosef, implies that this is a special din in Pesach, but not because of the intricate details per se, but because of the Korban Pesach. But again, it's formulated in different ways. Ode Shlomar, the Perakamad Avodah Zarah, Armina, the Tamad Abina, and Korban Pesach, Shloshim Yom, Mipnei HaKorban, Kedei Lebot Gomimumin, Kolomar Shekoy Yisrael Chayavon LaHakriv Korban LaChag Zeh, Tzrichim Shloshim Yom, Lidrosh Lahem B'Hilchos HaPesach. Hafagav the hashta babonosenu ainlanu karban, kiven disman shay karban et kinu shudarshin shloshim yom, right? Lo zaza mimkomo, which is what Tosa says in Masechet Avodah Zarah. The question is this din, this third halacha, also pragmatic, but for the purpose of Korban Pesach, and it's just a low plug? Or does the fact that Korban Pesach requires this greater elaboration to begin with, does that tell us something? I'm going to suggest that in just a minute. And we'll soon see that some of the Rishonim point out that the real Bikur of Korban Pesach really requires Dalad Yamim, doesn't require Shloshim Yom. And as we'll see also, the Makor for this, which is part of Avodah Zarah Belsa, part in Psachim, implies that the Shloshim Yom is much more than one would have anticipated. So the question is there something more than the pragmatic element in this Korban Pesach idea, or is that also completely pragmatic? The Bach, just to talk about the Poskim just for a minute, the Bach is troubled by all of this. It says, V'teima lefize, de'ein min agenu litfos oso lechiyub lidrish b'moed atzmo. The Bach is troubled. Do we really have such a minug, you know, to darshan in Yonei HaChag on the Chag itself, meaning the sugya in Megillah? Where do we really find this? In fact, Mavur dechiv gomur lidrosh shloshim yom kodem. He just points out that ironically, there seems to be a stronger basis for the 30 days than there does for the Chag itself. And therefore, he comes to the conclusion of Fian Yazdaiti, Nira Ikar, the Hoditam Mitzvasan Chu Korinosan Kalachab Yakod Bismano. So basically, the Bach seems to be taking a much more fundamental approach to this issue, at least to begin with. The Bach says, even if a person is a mumcha, he's gone through Shas and Shulchan Aruch, you know, many times. Nonetheless, it seems that there are psukim that establish, at least with regard to Pesach, that he is obligated, Shloshim Yom Lifnei Achag, to immerse himself in these inyanim, at least a Shabbos or two, meaning a week or two before the Moed, when it comes to other Chagim. And, I mean, the preparation for a Chag isn't about knowing the details specifically. It's either about guaranteeing your knowledge, right, in a kind of a Shmira way, as we were talking in the Ramban and Chulin and Dav Beis, Shmira way. Or, I think more likely, the Bach seems to be inclined to think that preparing for the Chag is the Kiyum in Talmud Torah for the Chag itself, and it's the Kiyum in the Chag that is separate from your level of knowledge or the Chashash of Michshol. And that when it comes to Pesach, that is 30 days. And when it comes to other Chagim, it's clear that the preparation requires at least a week or two. But the Shloshim Yom here of Pesach is Kenanafka LaMikra. U'masha Kosu B'Braisa Hilchos Pesach B'Pesach. Even that, he says, Ritzon Olomar, Samuch lePesach, V'chein Hilchos Chag B'Chag, Samuch lChag, V'chi Hod Amina B'Rosh Hashanah, Chayv Adam L'Tar Atzmo B'Regel, Perusho, Erev HaRegel, V'lo B'Regel Atzmo. Where do you find a precedent in Chazal that you can talk about something being B'Pesach or B'Yom Tov, and in fact, it really means in advance? Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, Chayv Adam L'Tar Atzmo B'Regel, which we actually spoke about in our Chulin discussions earlier, when we talked about the mandate to be Tahar. So obviously, becoming Tahar doesn't take place on the Chag, it takes place in advance. So we see from here, what's mechudash about the Bach, I think, are two things. Number one, that while the answers in the Beis Yosef try to establish that there are two separate dinim, that there's a din of limud tochayom when it comes to the other Chagim, and there is a din of, you know, kedima, shloshim yom for Pesach, and maybe somewhat for the others, which is more pragmatic for the other holidays. It sounds like the Bach actually is downgrading the sugya in Megillah thinking that that's how he starts off. That's his question to begin with. Where do we find that there really is such a halacha? What the other assuming is a more core and more fundamental obligation. The Bach is suggesting to D is only one halacha, and that the main halacha is about preparation rather than on the chag itself, and that the preparation, while it's certainly also pragmatic, applies even for somebody whose knowledge level and so on is such that it makes it clear that it's about connecting to and capitalizing on and being immersed in the chag, not merely that you know what to do so that you're not nichshal on the chag. Then he he points out that according to Rashi, in different places in Sanhedrin, in Sukkah, Daf Tesamadeis, the Rokeach, it appears that there's no special yichus to Pesach, right? On the other hand, he thought that there was special yichus, but based on Mikra, based on Psukim. And then he adds, it goes back to the idea that Pesach has a special din of Shloshim Yom, even though there's a din of Kedima, which is much more fundamental than Ba'os B'yom Atzmo, you know, for the other Chagim as well. But the din of Shloshim is a special din in Pesach. Why? Mishum Korban Pesach. Then he adds, Umatsasi Lamar Shal, because of the Biker Mumin Lav Dafka, the Arba Yamin Biina and Lebikar Mumim, Elishihizra Aleim Shuyigayim, Bedavar Shloshim Yom Mikodim Kadesh Yuchal Ishtadel, Korm Pesach, Echad Shinoki Mikomum, etc. Lefiza Nisyashiv Minagenu, Shainan Tosim Lechiu Vilidrosh Beyond of Atmo, etc. Okay. So this is the Bach. So it emerges from the Bach is that it seems like this isn't just pragmatic. It seems like the Shloshim Yom, and particularly for Pesach, and some more moderate version of it for the other Chagim is something fundamental. He's also pointing out that the connection with Korban Pesach, based on the citation of the Marshal, seems to be either, again, about taking extraordinary steps to ensure that the Korban Pesach will be proper, or has to do with something more fundamental, kind of immersing yourself again in the Korban Pesach itself in some sort of a more fundamental way. The Magen Avraham, you know, in Shulchan Aruch, on the other hand, again, formulates this much more pragmatically. V'hu adin b'shar yamim tovim, dorshim kodem l'chein shloshim yom, l'chein kasav amarsha, and then he says, Ma'aril used to darshan dine sukkah also on Shabbos Shuva, etc. So the Magen Avraham definitely, even though he's partly quoting the Bach, seems to be mistayeg from this more fundamental idea and sees it again like halachic, pragmatic preparation. Okay. The Chok Yaakov, on the other hand, is a little bit more concerned, you know, with why it is that we have this special din of Korban Pesach. What I'd like to suggest is that if we look at the Gemara in Psachim, which of course all of these Mefarshim were completely aware of, that what seems to emerge is something more akin to what the Bach is suggesting, namely, a more fundamental idea, and I'd like to take a quick stab, you know, at what that idea might be. If you look at the Gemara in Psachim, which I intentionally, you know, read in a very abridged way before, right? It's important to see what comes before and after the Gemara's citation of this brisa of Shloshim Yom Lifnei Achag. Really, the reason that this is in Psachim and Davav, I think the yeshiva might be learning Psachim next year. So I guess we'll hopefully in person get a chance to to discuss all of these issues. But the Gemara speaks earlier about the obligation of beer or bedikah. There's some discussion what exactly we mean. The Gemara speaks about, actually, technically the language is beer. The Gemara speaks about the following. Amrav Yudam Arav, Hamafarish Fayotza B'Sheyara, Kodim Shloshim Yom, Ein Zokuk Levayer, Tok Shloshim Yom, Zokuk Levayer. The Gemara wants to know when the Chi of a beer chametz applies. And the Gemara suggests that there's a 30-day period, which is Koveya. If you're going to go on a trip before 30 days, then there's no chiv beer. Right. Certainly, that doesn't mean in terms of b'ayir or b'ayimatze. That's the question. We'll get to that. The Gemara says, Amar b'ayahod, Amar s'tok klamid yom, zokuk levayir, lo amar n'elu sh'day t'laksar, avul ein day t'laksar, ein zokuk levayir. And then the Gemara says, Amar lay rava, I day t'laksar, afilu m'rosh ha'shana. Ela marava, hod amar kodim lamid yom, ein zokuk levayir, lo amar n'elu sh'ein day t'laksar, avul day t'laksar, afilu m'rosh ha'shana, zokuk Levayer. So basically, there's a machlokas between Abai and Rava exactly what this Shloshim Yom works for, how it works in conjunction with the issue of your intention of being in this home on Pesach. Rava's of the opinion that if you're going to be home for Pesach, it doesn't matter when you left, you're obligated in Bior. And Abai thinks that you have to be both coming back and having left within 30 days. Either way, the according to Rava, it's one or the other. The other Rava l'tameid, Amar Rava ha'osa beisa otzer, kodim shloshim yom, ein zokuk levayer, tok shloshim yom, zokuk levayer, etc. Then the Gemara says, kodim lamed yom nami lamar na l'shein daita lefanoso, daita lefanoso afila kodim lamed yom nami zokuk levayer, etc. Okay, so this is all background. On the surface, none of this has anything to do with the topic that we are presently discussing. That's all about bitul chametz, beer chametz, bedikas chametz, and you know when that becomes obligatory, etc. The next line in the Gemara, of course, is the key line. The Gemara says, "Hani shloshim yom mai avidatayu," meaning, what does what's the chalos? What's the significance of 30 days in this context? And the Gemara's answer, shockingly enough, is Kidetanya Sholim B'dorshim B'chus Pesach Kodem HaPesach Shloshim Yom. And of course, when the Torah quotes this halacha in the beginning of Simen Tavchav Tes, he actually quotes it very faithfully, except that backwards from the Gemara. Tanya Sholim B'dorshim B'chus Pesach Kodem HaPesach Shloshim Yom. And then he adds, Hilkach, therefore, Shloshim Yom Kodem HaPesach Chol Alav Chovas Biur Kasher Avaer. In the Shulchan Aruch, when they quote the halacha, they omit this particular second. They omit this connection in the Gemara. Just Sholem Bilchus HaPesach Kodem Pesach Lamed Yom Uminag the Rama adds Uminag Liknos Chitim V'Chalkan Laniyim L'Tzorech Pesach Kol Mishadar Biir Shnei Masar. Then they go on to discuss maybe something we'll discuss next time, and that is Rosh Chodesh Nisan, Ein Nofen Apneim. Now, the Shulchan Aruch left out that comment of the Torah. The Taz that I mentioned before actually has an interesting line, you know, where he accentuates the question. Bekasha, Ma Shaychus, he quotes a Torah, Torah Kasa of Hilkach. Shloshim Yom Kodem Pesach Chalav Chovas Abiyur. And then he adds, V'hu Gemara Perakama Dabav. And then he says, V'kasha, Mai Shaychus Yesh Mizeh Lezeh, D'tala Zeh Bazeh. Right? Obvious, but it's always good for somebody to articulate, you know, the problem. The Taz is saying, like, what does one thing have to another? His answer is half fundamental and half pragmatic, I think. I'm not really sure. He says, the hikshu sham betal hatosas, da yidei she'ela huskak lomar lahem. One second. I'm sorry. V'nir perusho de she'ela, haynu mashi yitztarchu la'asid b'yom ha'pesach. V'dorshin, haynu mashi tzarech la'osa yom. Suggests that there's a difference between Shoalin and Dorshin. That Shoalin is preparation for the future, like a question you're going to ask me about what's going to happen next week. Whereas Dorshin is information that is pertinent or relevant to the present, although it might be present preparation for the future, but not a question about the future, but a question which is more, as I say, ensconced in the reality of the moment. Bezema sisinu belimud, shazakar shamatana kama, nitakrishon jabo moshe, umazer al pesach sheni. I'm going to read that in just a second. The hiksha tosas in psachim, tayide sheela huskak lomar lahem, the tirtu de mikomokom, lo yitzarich laharich, ela al tasu pesach, the sulo. Hareisha Dorish Moshe Shiasa Pesach Sheni, Mizela Madnu Adrasha, Shachacham Doresh Meatsno, Behind Masha Tzorech Akshav, Litzorech Pesach Bizmano, Ainu Shemosha Dorash, Shiasu HaPesach Sheni, the Tzorech Shloshim Yom, Mipne Akorba Levakro Bemumim, etc. And therefore, Vim Kain Tzorech Ata, Lomar, the Gambishar Halachos, Yesh Tzorech Ata Lidrosh. So I like most of what the Taz is saying. I like the chilek between She'ela and Drisha. I like that mostly he's suggesting, especially for Drisha, that it's part of the preparation of the moment, likrat the future, but that is relevant to the moment. I'm just a little bit disappointed in the application to Shloshim Yom for Bedika and Bior. I like that he asked the question. The answer is a little bit too pragmatic for my taste, but let me explain what I mean. So the Gemara records really that there are two views. There's the view of the Tanakhama, and there's also the view of Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, right? Sholim v'dorshim shloshim yom, and the other view is Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, who says shtei shabbosos, my taima, the Tanakhama. So it's a fascinating makar, and this is what the Bach, of course, was referring to also, when he seemed to be saying that it's a more fundamental halacha. The son-in-law, the Taz, you know, seemed to be mostly going with that as well. What's the makar? Shahari Moshe omed bePesach Rishon umazir al Pesach Sheini. Right? Moshe Rabbeinu is discussing the din of Pesach Sheini, which is a month away, right, on Pesach Rishon, when he's being asked by Klal Yisrael, you know, those who are Bederech Rechoka and Tmeim, whether there will be, you know, a Moed Bet, whether there'll be a second chance, a second opportunity. So since Moshe, the Pesach Rishon, was Mazir al Pesach Sheni, Shenemar Vayasu B'nei Yisrael Es HaPesach B'Moado, Uksiv Vayihan Hashem Asher Yotmeim L'Nefesh Adam, Parshas Baloscha, right, so that is the makar. Now Tosas says here, and that's what the Taz was referring to, that Mazal Pesach Sheni, Afagav Shalidei She'elaso, Huskak Lomar Lahen, Mikomokom Lo Yatzarech Laharich, Ela Al Tasu Pesach, Misulo. All they really needed to know at the moment was not to do the Korban Pesach. They didn't need the details about Pesach Sheni. He could have filled those in much later. And therefore, you see, that's where the Taz was saying, that's the difference between Shalim and Dorshim. It seems like there was some benefit. 30 days in advance, it's already talking about this particular issue. And the question is, what is that? But if we take a step back, the very phenomenon is fascinating. Meaning, if this requirement was pragmatic, right, you just need to know the intricate dinim of Pesach, and you need to know them so that you can prepare and so on and so forth. Do you really need Exarus HaKasa for that? Is there going to be a pragmatic debate between the Tanakhama and Rav Shimon Gamliel? We'll talk about Rav Shimon Gamliel next time. But Rav Shimon Gamliel, Amalach, Aidi, the Airi, Bimili, the Pischa, Masiklu, Bechol, Mila, the Pischa. You say, nah, not such a big deal. And my time under Rav Shimon Gamliel, Shrei Moshe, Omid, Barosh Chodesh, Umazal Pesach Shemra Chodesh Azelachem Rosh Kadashim Uksiv Dabru al Kaladas Israeli Mar Besar Lachodesh Azeh Vyikhlem Ish Selebe Savos Se Laboyas. So it's fascinating. If If the question, I have an audience here, a really like important audience also, you don't even know. If the idea is purely a pragmatic one, right, that's a machlokas between Tanaim, and that depends on different limudim. Very strange. And do these limudim really, again, if you hold like the majority of the Rishonim and some of the poskim, that this all really is pragmatic in one way, right, or not. And we have a, it seems that we have not only grandchildren who are visiting, but we have like inanimate people as well, right? Okay, so even though, are you in? There she is. Okay, the oldest.
Hi, Mary.
Grandchild, Miriam Yocheved Weiss. Okay.
Hi, Mary.
What's that?
Hello.
Thank you. Simcha says hi.
Hi.
Okay. Anyways, so the point is that if there's a pragmatic debate, then you have to say that the psukim are, and the model of Moshe Rabbeinu are telling us a threshold, like how much in advance. Maybe it's a question of, again, the shmir. I would interpret it like on the shmirah level, right? How much do you have to invest, right, to making sure that there will be no you know, mistakes, no michshal on Pesach, etc. But if we're talking about what is the time frame that is defined by Pesach, including a preparation and maybe even a post-Pesach, if that's what we're talking about, then the discussion in the Gemara, right, you can learn Shloshim Yom from after the preparation for Pesach Sheni and the preparation for Pesach Rishon. And that changes the entire perspective, basically, of what it is that we're talking about. Because now we can understand that the debate is really about spiritual preparation, which is a function of the impact of the Chag itself. There's a preparation for the Chag, there's Shloshim Yom Lefnei HaChag, and there's also Shloshim Yom Achar HaChag, especially as reflected by Pesach Sheni. Moreover, we can now understand that it isn't just a loplug, and maybe also that the role of Pesach Sheni is particularly fascinating here. Again, last year, in the run-up to Pesach, we I think the main topic that we did was the status of Pesach Sheni and what it reflects about Pesach Rishon, right? The psukim in Baloska, the language, you know, Megalgal and Skusa Yidei Zakai, Lama Nigara, and of course, as I recall, we discussed in great detail, not in great detail, but in some detail at least, you know, the question of whether Pesach Sheni is a mitzvah b'fnei atzma, the discussion between Avraham and Rambam and Rav Daniel Bavli, other echoes, some diukim in the Rambam itself about the role of or the relationship between matzah, maror, and korban Pesach in a regular Pesach and in Pesach Sheni, the relationship, of course, to chametz between the two. The idea being, and you know, not just last year, other years as well, that Korban Pesach isn't just a korban that you bring on Pesach, but it is either the most important symbol, or at least advise together with matzah, chag matzos, chag Pesach, etc. So the idea that preparing for Pesach Sheni, Shloshim Yom, or that Bikur of Korban Pesach, which would take place in the advanced, or the need to secure Korban Pesach, and the idea that that would still remain the paradigm because of Lo Plug, even Bizman Azeh, right? And especially to neutralize also the Ha'ara of the Marshal, which is really pragmatically to make sure that you have proper Korban Pesach, all you need is a four-day Bikur. Where do you get the Shloshim Yom from? But if what we're really talking about is, you know, already Shloshim Yom constitutes a time unit in halacha. And the idea is, you know, that Pesach casts a very large, I wouldn't say shadow, because it's not a shadow, casts a very large, you know, impact. And there's a pre-Pesach, right? There is Pesach, which is a bubble of a certain kind, and there is post-Pesach. This post-Pesach for Shloshim Yom, and of course, to some other extent, especially according to the Ramban, who says that the period of Sfiras HaOmer is a kind of a bridge, a kind of a Chol HaMoed between Pesach and Shavuos. So the whole post-Pesach Sfiras HaOmer period is an aftermath of Pesach. The truth is that Pesach is something you prepare for, and Pesach aftermath is very powerful. I've argued in the past that one of the unique aspects of Pesach, especially in contrast to Sukkot, is the fact that everything is focused on the day of Yetzias Mitzrayim, and that even the Shivas Yamim is kind of part of the afterglow of Pesach. So the idea that there is a din of Shloshim Yom before and after, that it's connected to Korban Pesach, you know, in both before and after, the idea that it applies even Bizman Hazeh, because it highlights the themes of Korban Pesach and the themes of Pesach that one should already begin preparing for, is, I think, a very powerful idea. And if that's the case, then we could also understand what the Gemara is emphasizing, what the Tur reminds us of, what the Taz is troubled by, what the Shulchan Aruch and others kind of ignored or dropped. And that is the Kesher in the Gemara between Biur and Bedika, or whatever it is, Shloshim Yom, that Chalos period, and the period of Shalim Vidorshim, both the She'ela and the Drisha parts, to use the Taz's formulation, in advance. The idea being that Biur or Bedika, etc., possibly even Baal Yirah, depends on how you understand those halachos, I don't want to get into that right now, that the Chalos period of Shloshim Yom, Lifnei Achag, is a real tkufa. It's not just about preparing and not making a mistake, because that wouldn't define the chiyuv of Biur. But it shows that already in advance of Pesach, there really is a chalos, a kedima, a achana. There's an erev of Pesach, which is a serious chalos. And that, of course, makes a lot of sense. Indeed, if that is the case, I'm going to try to, you know, bring things to a conclusion. I shouldn't take advantage of, you know, the fact that we're starting a little earlier to go much longer, because we know people need to prepare as well. But perhaps, you know, this also works well a little bit with Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, and Midr Rav Shimon ben Gamliel a little bit, Nishma l'chachamim. Rav Shimon ben Gamliel says, we'll talk maybe more about it next time, that the period in advance is a two-week period. And presumably that also impacts, I mean, presumably, it seems clear that impacts on the issue of Bedika Biur as well. And what's the idea behind that? So as the Gemara explains, Shari Moshe Omeid Berosh Chodesh Umazir Ala Pesach. HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem Rosh Chodashim. Uksiv Dabru Al Kol Adas Yisrael Leimor, etc. And I think that this is particularly true according to the very famous perspective of the Ramban. The Ramban in Parshas Bo, well, we'll say before we get to that, the Ramban in general, as we know, maybe more than any other Mefarish, accentuates the unique role of Zeicha Letzias Mitzrayim. He's the one who is so hypersensitive to the fact that the Torah, you know, continuously mentions Zeicha Letzias Mitzrayim, Zeicha Letzias Mitzrayim, you know, in places where you wouldn't expect it. Anochi Hashem Elokecha Asher Hotzei Sicha Me'aretz Mitzrayim. We actually discussed that a couple of Mondays ago. Continuity. Parshas The end of Parshas Bo in Torah speaks about mezuzah. That's, of course, the most famous Ramban, maybe. The Ramban, when he speaks about the relationship of Shabbos and Parshas Yisro, Aseres HaDibros and Parshas Vayeschanan, talks about the relationship between Briyas Olam and Yetzias Mitzrayim. It's a leitmotif throughout all of the Ramban's writings that Zecher Yetzias Mitzrayim is not just an anniversary and not just Hakaras HaTov, but it's a perspective on Mitzios Hashem, Hashkachas Hashem, Yediyas Hashem, Hashkachas Hashem, and especially the special bond between Klal Yisrael and the Rabbanu Shel Olam. So it's not surprising that in the beginning of Parshas Bo, that the Ramban says that, HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem Rosh Chodeshim Rishon Hu Lachem Chodshei Hashana, says the Ramban, exactly what we have with regard to Shabbos, we have in parallel with regard to Chodesh Nisan, and that's what we mean, HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem Rosh Chodeshim, says the Ramban. This parakid based pasuk based on the pasuk Achodesh Hazeh Lachem, he says, "V'tam Achodesh Hazeh Lachem Rosh Chodashim sheimanu osa Yisrael Chodesh Arishon u'mimenu yimanu kol Achodashim sheini shlishi ad tashlam hashana b'shnei masar Chodesh kedei sheyez hazikaron b'nei sagadol ki b'chol eishen nazkir Achodashim yahaneis nizkar v'alkein ein Achodashim sheim b'tora eliyomer b'chodesh ashlishi." Omer, Vahiva Shana Hashenis Bachodesh Hasheni, Bachodesh Hashvi'i, etc. Ukamosh Tia Hazchira Biyoma Shabbos is the famous Ramban, also in Parshas Emor and in his Drasha of Rosh Hashanah, that about Shabbos, that we don't have days of the week, we have Yom Rishon, Yom Sheni, Yom Shlishi, because everything revolves around Shabbos. Bimonosenu, Mimenu Echad B'Shabbos Sheni B'Shabbos, Kasher Afarish, Kach is Kira B'Yitzias Mitzrayim, Bimonoseinu, Achodesh Arishon, Achodesh Hasheni, Achodesh Hashlishi, Ligulaseinu, Bezet Tam Rishon Hulachem, Pimitchila Lahaya Shemos Atlenu, Vasiba Bezeki Mitchila Hayum Minyanam Zechel Tsias Mitzrayim. And he has this other view, Akasher Alina Mibavel, right? Viniskayim, Masha Amar, Beliomer Od Chaya Shem, Asher Halas, Benesra Meretz Mitzrayim, Kim Chaya Shem, Asher Halab, Masher Hivis, Benesra Meretz Safon. When we look forward to the Geula Hasida, right, so then, we might be counting differently. But in the interim, the idea of the Ramban is that Chodesh Nisan, being Chodesh Rishon, Achodesh Hazeh Lachem Rosh Chodashim, highlights the role of Yetzias Mitzrayim and the centrality of Chag HaMatzos. So the idea that, Shloshim, that let's say 2 weeks would start from that, or that even if you think that the objective period is going to be Shloshim Yom because that's the period of influence and so on, then if you think that that's what's going to be Koveya, then that will start Shloshim Yom Lifnei Chag HaMatzos. And I'd just like to add with this that in that respect too, Chag HaMatzos is not only the first holiday. I mean, as we know, there's this tension between Rosh Hashanah and Chag HaMatzos, as there is between the Chadashim, right? Different ways of looking at the Chagim. But in one respect, Chag HaMatzos is the most unusual of the Chagim in one respect. That's part of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, but it is also in another respect, the most generic and core and basic of the Chagim. And it's always worthwhile reminding that the unique feature in terms of Malacha and Kedushas Hayom of Yom Tov in general, Ein Bein Shabbos L'Yom Tov Ela Ochol Nefesh Bilvad, the Mishnah and Megillah and of Zayin Amid Beis, which by the way is also hinted at in the Parsha that we are about to read, Vayakel, right, which emphasizes Lo Sivaru Esh B'Chol Mashvasechem, according to many of the Mefarshim, to highlight the difference between Shabbos and Yom Tov with regard to Heter Ochol Nefesh. That's a view of many of the Mefarshim. So what's unique about Yom Tov is captured by Heter Ochol Nefesh. It's worth remembering that Heter Ochol Nefesh really comes from the paradigm of Chag HaMatzos of Pesach. Because really, the only time we have an explicit mention of Hetrochel Nefesh is in Parshas Bo, where the Torah tells us, Ach asher yachel l'chol nefesh, hu levado yeyaseh lachem. That's the only explicit time in the entire Torah that we have a Hetrochel Nefesh that is mentioned. Some of the Mefarshim, like the Uraim and others, assume that there's a Hekesh or Huadin, what applies to Pesach, right, applies to the other Chagim. And the question is, like, how do you know that? The Ramach, in the beginning of Hilchos Yom Tov, discusses that Uraim. That's a fascinating issue and question. The Ramban himself, which I think fits perfectly, in his famous view in Parshas Emor, explains that Heterochel Nefesh is a consequence of the Torah using the expression Malechas Avoda as opposed to Kol Malacha. That Malechas Avoda means Heter Ochel Nefesh. Again, I'm just finishing one more minute. So the but the Ramban, in explaining that in Parshas Emor, says, well, how do you know that? He says, but you know it from Pesach. Because in Pesach, in Parshas Bo, the Torah uses the expression Kol Malacha, and then it says, Ach asher yachel l'chol nefesh, hu levado yaseh lachem, showing you that the Kol Malacha is qualified by a heterochel nefesh. He says that's why in Parshas Emor and on, it could use the expression of Malachas Avoda to be merames to the dialectic that already took place in Parshas Bo. But the assumption then is, and that's where it's exported from Pesach to all of the other Yom Tovim. But the idea that Pesach is the Av Tipus, in a way, the paradigm of the Yom Tov, in that Heterochel Nefesh comes from that Parsha and is exported from there to everywhere else, that idea, and of course it fits in very beautifully with the general idea of Shabbos and Kiddush HaChodesh, and therefore Shabbos and Yom Tov kind of being the two poles, you know, that are connected, but also therefore that accentuates, you know, their differences as well. So I think that for all these reasons, it might be that there really is a special din of Shloshim Yom Lifnei HaChag, particularly as we know the Makor is limited to Pesach, that it isn't just a pragmatic halacha, that some of the pragmatic elements, namely securing on a Shmira level that this holiday will be properly observed, that already highlights, right, a special status vis-a-vis this holiday, but that in addition, thinking about it, the idea that it has a frame of reference, time-wise, that is defined by it or impacted by it, one in the beginning, one in the end, and maybe even, you know, extended, or you have Shloshim Yom, you have Rosh Chodesh, you have, of course, you know, Yom Yudalid, then Tesvav, then the afterglow the rest of the week. Then you have the Shloshim Yom until Pesach Sheni, which the Gemara here sees as a kind of a bookend and relevant to the Shloshim Yom Lefnei. And then you have, as I say, the Sfiras Omer period. So this idea of there being these overlapping impacts that Pesach has is very consistent with the idea of Zeichon Tzias Mitzrayim and with Pesach as a powerful paradigmatic. We, you know, this in part, it's like the Hakdama to Masachet Tzachim a little bit. We'll do a different Hakdama next year, Mirat Hashem, in person. So just food for thought. According to that, the idea of Biur, the idea of the Korban Pesach, all of these things fall into line. And indeed, there's an element of Sholim, there's an element of Darshim, as the Taz understood it. But they really require us already to begin contemplating the messages of Pesach. Of course, part of those messages are the message of Geula, the message of especially of Hashgacha. So it's actually very appropriate in the uncertain circumstances, you know, in which we are, again, that we maintain our confidence and our optimism, as we've been saying, that we continue not just to learn for Shloshim Yom Lifnei HaChag, mostly we're going to continue to learn Masachet Chulin, but that we, you know, be fully cognizant and aware of the impact already of this seminal symbol of Hashgacha. Okay, so that's for today. And Yirat Hashem will continue tomorrow at regular time, all things being equal. at 1 o'clock. If any